Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
And now to Thailand, where there's an ambitious plan for a new canal that could have a big impact on shipping in the Indian and Pacific Oceans. Michael Sullivan reports.
I'm in a small fishing boat on the Andaman Sea with Sitichai Bormwong, a local fisherman who knows both the area and the plan for the canal well. If you look at where I'm pointing, on the shore, you can see the mouth of the Galisay River, he says. That's where the canal will start. He's a fan. Says it's high time the underdeveloped South gets the economic benefits other parts of the country now enjoy. And he's not alone. Just a few hundred yards inland, along the Galisay, Jarit Taiyuang has a shrimp farm patrolled by a few mangy-looking dogs. The farm would disappear if the canal is approved, but he says the short-term pain is worth the long-term gain. I know I'll lose my land here, he says, but the canal will create jobs and improve the economy for our children, for their future. It's an idea first considered in the late 1600s by Thailand's King Narai, who commissioned a French engineer to see if it would work, but then lost interest. Now an influential group of retired generals and businessmen say the time is right.
We wait for a long time. 340 years, I think, is long enough.
That's retired general and former Army Chief of Staff Prongtep Tespratip.
I think it's obvious that Thai Canal project has many benefits, not only for Thai people, but also the people around the world.
An energy-hungry world, especially China, Japan, and South Korea, who'd love the idea of an 80-mile-long, $30 billion canal that would connect the Indian and Pacific Oceans, an alternative to the busy and congested Malacca Strait near Singapore.
I think it has game-changing potential that would have a tangible impact on shipping lanes.
John Hillman directs the Reconnecting Asia project at the Center for Strategic and International Studies in Washington.
One of the main selling points is that it would cut about 1,200 kilometers off of a shipping route from the Persian Gulf to Asian ports. And that translates into about 72 hours of shipping time. That's enough to change the way that you ship.
It would also help guarantee China's energy security, since a large quantity of its oil flows through the Malacca Strait, a potential choke point in any future conflict. One reason China appears happy to finance the project, according to Bangkok businessman Pakdi Tanapura. The walls of his office are covered in pictures that show the canal and vast new developments, cities even, that would spring up on either side. Illustrations provided by a Chinese developer, and not just any developer.
Longhao is a very important company in China because Longhao is the company that built islands in the South China Sea. They are very proud about it because they can build islands within 2 years. That's why they said that, oh, Krak Canal is no problem at all.
And it's not just China that's eager to see the canal become a reality.
We hope that they do it because we believe there's a good opportunity just from the business point of view.
Rolf Dieter Daniel is a past president and current board member of the European Association for Business and Commerce in Thailand.
Don't forget that the Malacca Strait is very, very much congested, and it will become even more congested in the future because the traffic is increasing all the time, and that means we need another route.
Thailand's military-led government isn't opposed to the idea, but says any feasibility study will have to wait until a new government is formed after general elections scheduled for next year. For NPR News, I'm Michael Sullivan in Bangkok.